on Rob Bird's Moondog Show. Let's talk real estate. Tina Goodrich is now in the studio. And if anybody could tell, we had an extra long break because we were eating take and bake and pizza that Tina brought in. So now we're all kind of a little lethargic, and hopefully the conversation will still be pretty good. So good to have you with us, Tina.
Yep, I'm here. Looking forward to our show today.
Yep, and Tina, and the perfect, exactly with what we're doing today, Tina doesn't have a guest for the show either, so it's just us. This is the whole let's wing it, no guests to call in for the show this week. So
yep.
Regardless, I mean, that's okay because we've got fun stuff to talk about, I'm sure.
We do. So we have lots of things always to talk about with all of us here.
Do you have
here.
A subject matter?
I do. I thought we would talk about seller's disclosures tonight on what's expected from the seller.
That sounds it's exhilarating.
Appropriate. It's appropriate because when we're pre-recording this, it's the traditional tax day, and since people always lie on their taxes, they probably lie on the disclosure forms too.
Well, they do rely on homes that they've sold. They always come to
rely,
us.
I said lie.
Yeah. People lie on their taxes?
They call buyers are liars. That's what they call
buyers
them.
Are liars. Yeah, that was actually the biggest sayings when I worked in the car industry. Don't ever listen because buyers are liars.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they lie to you about everything. The reasons why they want to get a car, the reasons why they got to go talk to their wife first, or the reason why they got to do this and that.
Or they have good credit.
Yes, but buyers are liars, and that is really, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a nickname, definitely, that has grown with the buyers. But we'll talk a little bit tonight about the sellers and seller's disclosures. That seems to be a big thing with the market today. Again, it's a seller's market.
Are sellers yellers?
Sellers are yellers.
I know. If buyers are liars, sellers would be...
Oh, well, I don't know.
Not as
that
funny
was a burst.
As I thought it would be. All right.
I like it.
Please, back to you, Tina.
Yep. So, yeah, we're talking seller's disclosures again about what's expected from the seller. Again, this is a seller's market. The market is hot. We can't put something on the market without it being sold usually in that first week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we expect the sellers to fill out a seller's disclosure, which is telling the buyers, you know, to the best of their knowledge, what they know about their home. And then the buyer gets that disclosure and he goes over that form and looks at, you know, everything that the seller told them about the home. And then maybe later on after he bought the home, he finds out that there is water in the basement and he had somebody come and look at that water in the basement and that wasn't disclosed on the seller's disclosure.
What if there's like a triple homicide and there were ghosts in the house? Do you have to disclose that?
Well, we as realtors, if you know something, then disclose it. Put it out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, just head it off at the path. If you actually know that the sellers are, have a ghost in their home and they're running them out of there, then yeah, I think that's something that should be disclosed to the buyer that, you know, there are some problems.
It could
here
be a buying point. You know, if you're a good realtor, you could like turn that, hey, we got some paranormal activity over here.
This house costs twice as much now.
You know, that just goes to like if somebody has died in the home, you know, a buyer may ask, has somebody died in the home? Well, you know, most of the time people do die in their homes. You know, it happens
especially
a lot.
If it's an older home.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's natural.
Unless
it's a
you're
part
the
of
one
life.
Dying.
You know, but...
yeah, that makes a difference, doesn't it?
You know, a lot of these homes today, somewhere down the road of that 100-year-old home, somebody probably has died there.
Yeah.
And as a realtor on the previous owner, if you know that somebody passed in the way in the home, then yes, you want to disclose that. I always say, if you know something, then disclose it.
You know that they're I mean, certainly when someone dies in a house, they don't just leave a ghost or any kind of apparition or whatever it may be. But there are certain, you know, if you believe in this kind of stuff, some may say that somebody could pass away somewhere else and return to their home, or that they grew up in, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I've heard different stories where, you know, furniture, people attached to old furniture. So if you buy this old dresser, you're buying the ghost with
it. Hey, maybe that's what happened down in Clarksville, Mississippi, moved that chair off the porch. It was somebody.
It could be.
Somebody didn't like that. On the porch.
Yeah, they do say that your soul connects to something that they loved. So, you know, if you get this dresser or this chair and you bring it into your home and all of a sudden you're feeling these eebie-jeebie things and maybe something came with it, you know. But, you know, we hear all kinds of stories being a real realtor and, you know, disclosing facts about your home is something that the buyer, you know, needs to know as much as possible about the home. And again, you know, seller's disclosure, I brought one with me just to kind of go over a couple of things that, you know,
I have to ask, is there like a house fox? You know, they have the Carfax. You can go and find out about your cars, what's happened to them. Is there a house fox fax?
Well, not really. You're going to be hiring a home inspector after you read the seller's disclosures, because these are all attached with the home. The only time you do not have to fill out a seller's disclosure would be if you were the estate person and you were handling the state and you never lived in the home, so how would you know what is wrong with the home?
I got
so
a question.
There you don't have to fill one out, but yeah, Mason, go ahead.
So what happens to the seller disclosures after the transaction takes place? Because if you go, what Rob Dahl was talking about, if you could go back and see, 5 years ago, this house was sold by different sellers, and what happened to that one?
Well, that's what happens. So after, you know, you get the seller's disclosures and you read them over, and then you have this 10-day due diligence, the buyer does, to do his due diligence, which is hiring a licensed home inspector, which we had Derek Gruber. He's a home inspector, comes in and he gives a thorough report about the home. He goes through it, you know, tooth and nail, electric plugs, the dryer vents, the furnace. You know, he just goes through everything and then gives you that full report. For things that priorly happened to the home before, let's say that seller, when he bought the home, he probably fixed most of those items, you know, to be able to turn it over to the new buyer. He then has to fill out a whole new seller's disclosure. He doesn't have to disclose the items that were prior when he bought the home was wrong with it, just as long as so now that he has addressed those items so they don't come up in the home inspection the second time
I would
around.
Be like, well, I was broke when I got here. I'm not fixing that. Hopefully somebody will come over one of these days.
Well, again, you got this 10-day due diligence. So let's say Derek goes in there and he does his home inspection and says, hey, Tina, there's water in the basement. And it looks like it's been addressed before, because I've seen some, you know, some boards up, and it looks like, you know, either homeowner or somebody came in here and tried to fix it. So then we go back, you look at the disclosures. No, the seller didn't address it. So then the seller...
I'm going to have to hold you on that note. We need to take a break, and we'll come back to talk more about seller's disclosures on Rob Bird's Moondog Show. Let's Talk Real Estate.
Hi, Laura Russin from Captain Nemo's. It's that time of year again, the time of year when we begin staffing for the upcoming summer season. We are currently looking for bussers, kitchen staff, ice cream scoopers, and food servers. So if you would like to be part of a long-standing family restaurant in South Haven, please in person deliver your resume to Nemo's at 407 Phoenix Street.
So get to the historic Captain Nemo's today.
Hi, Nicole Galata here with Galata Imagery, your South Haven local photographer. Specializing in family and wedding photography, I also photograph engagement, maternity, seniors, and so much more. Find me on Facebook and Instagram or on my website at galataimagery.com.
It is true. You can get quality social media marketing, radio time, and video production in one place. Moondog Productions specializes in all three. Now is the time to increase your presence and keep yourself in the public eye. Through Rob Bird's Moondog Show, Moondog Productions offers radio advertising, social media marketing, and video production that will get you noticed. Call Moondog Productions at 269-872-3049 to find out how we can design a program that will fit your budget.
Hi, Tina Goodrich here with Jakeway Realtors, local to the South Haven community. I've been a full-time realtor for 16 years in Southwest Michigan. Let me put my years of knowledge to work for you. In today's market, you need a savvy realtor. Find me on Facebook or Instagram, or call me at 269-759-1076. Remember, when you think real estate, list with Tina.
Talk Real Estate. Mason Dixon, Laura Russin, and Tina Goodrich here in the studio. We're talking about seller's disclosures. Quite exhilarating conversation is...
Well, you could say it's auxiliary from the first hour, right. So, but I'm just trying to help you.
Exhilarating.
Yeah,
exhilarating conversation. conversation here on Let's Talk Real Estate with Sellers Disclosures, and I actually thought I would have fell asleep in the last segment, but guess what? It was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah,
so,
we was talking about ghosts.
That's right. We're talking about ghosts and
great question.
Ghosts in your house. So,
A lot of people wonder, do they have to disclose that?
Yeah.
You know, they might be running out of the house because some entity ran them out, and they don't want to disclose that. And on our seller's disclosure, there's no place on here that says, is there an
spirit?
Entity? Is there a spirit? Is there a ghost?
I mean, half the people believe in them, half of them don't.
Yeah. So it's not something you have to fill out on your disclosure. Do you want to disclose that? If the agent knows it and he thinks that the seller's, you know, got a problem with it, yes, I would say you should disclose that to the buyer.
Yeah, if you're waking up with slash marks on your back, you should tell the possible people that might be buying a house.
I don't think I could sleep at night, you know, knowing that I passed a home on to somebody that could have something, you know, any kind of entity or something maybe bad.
Well, now that's a whole whole different conversation. We want to talk about morals and ethics with real estate agents, because there are real estate agents that would not care whatsoever and would sell a house no matter what condition it was in.
Well, and you can get yourself in a doozy with a dual agency, you know, and we all as agents want to do the dual agent because we get the whole pie when you do the dual agent. And you are juggling the buyer and the seller, and your fiduciary duty is to your seller, because that's where it starts at, is with your seller, and you're his agent. So the seller has to agree that if I get a buyer, is he going to work with me as a dual agent? So right in the beginning, I disclose that to my seller that, you know, I could possibly have a buyer and that I would become a dual agent. Are you fine with that?
Sure.
So right away. And then some sellers will say, no, I'm not.
Okay.
And you need to bring in somebody else. So then I would bring somebody else in from my office to handle a buyer in that situation, which I've came into a couple times.
Yeah. Well, in the last segment, Mason was kind of hitting on that if you had one filled out and a seller lied about it, you buy the house, you get past that 10-day grace or whatever that, and then find out that they lied about it. Is there any kind of recourse or anything that can be done?
There is. You bet there is. So if a seller, you know, is hiding something and didn't come forth with it, and let's say, you know, a month down the road, you bought the house and things are going good, and then all of a sudden you find out there was things that were hidden and the seller had to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely get an attorney and go after the seller.
Yeah. Have you ever seen any instances where something like that may have happened and somebody committed a crime in the house that wasn't unearthed until they did some remodeling and took a while? I mean, I've heard of stories like this.
I've never myself have come across anything of that in that nature or anything in our close, you know, co-agent office. I haven't heard anything like that.
Yeah.
But we have definitely ran into issues where, you know, the seller has not disclosed, honestly, you know, some things about the house.
Not sure why I need to take everything to the dark side today.
I know, Rob.
But,
I'm like, my goodness. I was thinking more like they painted the ceiling in the first thunderstorm, there was a big leak.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's all about dead people in the houses for me for some reason.
No.
We'll talk more about that around Halloween.
Later.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good conversation.
No, but Mason had mentioned, you know, after a buyer buys a place and then down the road, all of a sudden he finds out something's wrong with it, and he there's clues that the seller knew about it. And so then he would ask he would go right back to his agent and say, hey, look, we've got an issue here. So then as your buyer's agent, you're going to have attorneys in your pocket that you're going to be able to refer to them right away. That goes along with your home inspectors. You're going to have them lined up. You're going to have your well and septic guys lined up. You're going to have attorneys lined up. All of these people are a key to being a realtor.
Yeah. Well, while we're kind of talking about lies that a seller may have, what are some of the common things that a seller might lie about and even be able to get away with?
Well, and that's not so much lying. A seller is not, going to lie.
Totally he's just honest.
Yeah, he's just not going to disclose the items, you know. And sometimes they may not even be discovered until later down the road. And the seller, you know, can say, hey, it was working fine when I sold the place.
Right.
Well, how long does a buyer have to go back on the seller?
Probably you're going to want to do it within the first 30 to 60 days, but you know, let's say 6 months down the road, if something's really a major issue with probably most of them will be flooding, issues. You know, like there's some been flooding problems going underneath the basement for quite some time, and you know it's all dry now. It's fall and there's no water, and you can sell it, and then you know six yeah. 9 months down
the
road,
the wet season
or maybe even
around.
2 years, yeah. you may not even see a huge water problem until a couple of years down the road, and then all of a sudden we got this huge spring with a ton of water, and my basement's flooding, and the seller knew about it. And it's 2 years down the road, you probably could get an attorney and go back on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially okay. if you think the seller knew about it, or let's say you found out there was records with Jensen's and they came in and looked at it and ServPro looked at it and there's records of that, then, you know, you definitely have a foot to stand on.
Well, what else is there about seller's disclosures? We've got about a minute left in this segment. What else is something we might need to know about those?
Okay, so again, on the seller's disclosure, just a few things, you know, that, you know, when you're selling a home, you have to answer truthfully if these things are in working order in the home, such as your stove, dishwasher, refrigerator, hood oven. Garbage disposal, there's an area if you don't have a garbage disposal, you can mark not available. Your electrical system, garage door openers, do you have alarm systems? Do you have an attic fan? And there's sometimes there's answer or questions here that a seller may not be able to answer. So
can a seller be prosecuted criminally for lying on these forms?
Well, if there's a problem with it after they bought the home, you bet they could be in trouble.
And probably, yep. especially if it caused any kind of bodily injury, would probably be the bigger thing.
Yeah. And again, you know, there on this seller's disclosure, you have an area to mark, yes, it's in working order. No, it's not in working order. Or I don't know. So there's an unknown checkbox.
Yeah.
And then not available. So like if you don't have a garbage disposal, you're going to mark and not available.
Did you ever get one that if all came back, I don't know?
You do get asked if you own the mineral rights to your property.
Well, let's talk about mineral rights in a minute. What a great thing. We need to go to a break.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that when we come back on Rob Bird's Moondog Show. Let's talk real estate. Rob Bird's Moondog Show.
Hey, Laura, how you doing?
I've had a stress headache.
Well, what you need is an alternative, integrative, community-oriented healthcare experience.
Say what?
You need to go see Dr. Max Masters at Masters Chiropractic and Rehabilitation. Go check out their website at chiropractorsouthhaven.com or give them a call at 269-639-2545. They have a no-wait policy. You can be seen right directly immediately. Masters Chiropractic and Rehabilitation.
And now, a special message from Paul Landecker, Operations Program Director at Midwest Family Broadcasting.
First thing that really impressed me about Moondog Productions was the Facebook videos that Rob was putting up, some of the South Haven videos and some of the other things, the award-winning videos that he has and put up so everybody can see them. The quality that is in those videos, the time he takes, the expertise that he has in making our little town of South Haven look amazing worldwide. We asked Moondog Productions to do a couple of videos for our Summer Jam and Smooth Jazz concerts this past summer. Totally unexpected that, you know, he got those videos back to us within 10 days. I mean, it was quick turnaround. They exceeded my expectations on how they looked. Moondog Productions is no small town operation. And the work they do is major market stuff. It's really, really well done. We didn't have a big budget for this. Rob and Moondog Productions took every cent and made it all work for us very economically. The quality of the product, the ease of working with Moondog Productions, it's simple. I have no doubt that if you have need of quality, big time video at low cost, Rob's your guy. Moondog Productions is where you need to go.
We're back on Rob Bird's Moondog Show and having good times on the break. You guys were had us all kind of stitches here for a minute. So Mason Dixon, Laura Russin, and Tina Goodrich, let's talk real estate. Tina, is there more to talk about with seller's disclosures, or do we want to talk about some properties or something?
We want to wrap up that seller's disclosure again. You know, we talked a little bit about what is expected from the seller. On the second page here, I just wanted to go over some of the things that, you know, you might not know, which would be there. You're always asked, do you own your mineral rights? And some people really don't know if they own their mineral rights or not.
I didn't know they was fracking underneath the house.
Well, so you know, back
you
in the day,
you have the mineral rights, right?
Back in the day, Bloomingdale had signs of oil in the ground, if you guys remember that. And there was a lot of people, you know, in a frenzy of do they own their mineral rights or not?
We had on 64th Street where I was growing up, we had oil pumps a little bit down the road. Yeah,
we did on my grandfather's property on 66.
Yeah. So you can always call the county. If you don't know if you own the mineral rights, you can call the county to find out if you do own them or not.
Now, how could somebody possibly own the mineral rights on a property that you own if you own it? Can you sell those? I mean, they
Run with the land.
But they don't. But if the house sells,
they
the
thought
mineral,
they could. But it's something that just never went over well. People thought they could hold that mineral right back, but then you're not going to sell the land.
Right.
Nobody's going to want the land if you're not going to sell them the mineral rights with it. It goes with the property. But that did come into a little frenzy there when that oil strike went on.
Can you imagine if the Beverly Hillbillies didn't have the mineral rights to their own property? They would have had to stay.
Good. Wow, that would have changed TV.
Yeah,
and
they would have had to stay. They couldn't have gone to Beverly Hills.
Right.
Yeah.
Beverly Hillbillies.
There we go.
Let's wrap this up
on seller's disclosures.
Wrap it up on seller's disclosures. The other things that are most important, again, that people are asked about is your well and septic. You know, a lot of people know they have problems with their septic, but, you know, for some reason, sellers are like, it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where you have your septic and well inspections done to make sure you know what you're buying. We know that a new septic system can cost you above ground systems now are costing $15,000 to $20,000.
Well, I never even heard of an above ground
septic. Oh, yeah, that's the thing now is above ground septic systems.
No turd pools.
Yep.
When you go by somebody's property and they have like a big mound in their front yard with really healthy grass.
You know the lump back here behind my house, the little hill where I parked, there's
it's underground.
It is.
It is underground, but it's they call it above ground system because the old ones were actually dug into the ground and then, you know, cemented in.
And a manhole on the top to get into them. Yeah.
I think what happened is that a lot of these septic systems over the years they have problems and then they seep into the ground and then you hear you got these issues with the
big
septic
problems.
System. So nowadays you're going to see if you have problems with your septic, you want it inspected to make sure you don't have to replace it because if it does come back bad, that's when you tell the seller you have to fix the septic and put a new one in before I buy it. So there, is that seller's disclosure.
If you end up with a septic problem is to sell and leave. Let someone else deal with it.
Well, that's, again, a seller's disclosure. I want everybody to be aware that a new septic system can cost you $15,000 to $20,000 now.
Fantastic.
And $5,000.
Perfect. Now, I'll give you about 2 minutes if you want to talk about any hot properties or anything that you got to get out there.
Well, my newest property, again, we talked a little bit about
it
last week.
You need to quit talking about this property because
one
that would be good for like me and some of my friends.
Blue Star Highway.
You need to stop trying to sell this property because...
Well, this would be an ideal property for somebody who wants to get into that hobby farm. Now, the seller here, of course, he has started a medicinal farm there, but there's nothing set in stone here. This is a 3,500 square foot commercial building. It has 4.5 acres next door that could be plotted out into a development. And this place is right behind the dunes. You're just a hop skip within 1 mile to the state park.
Man.
So, you know, you have all these great amenities around you. You're in between Pilgrim Haven and the state park.
Yeah.
With this commercial tag.
What a great place for a grow.
Yes.
A great place for a video business and a real estate office. Tina's own real estate. What a great place for all of us to be. I think that should be a place that you buy. I think
we could even do the radio show
We would do everything from there and... We'd have that thing paid off in 2 years.
Gosh, that would be a great place for your radio station.
Everything that I do would be perfect for that place, other than my pocketbook.
Well, maybe the three of us should buy it.
I like four, how she says three. No, you ain't bringing me in that. Well,
see, that's what I said, three.
I would certainly entertain that thought.
Yeah.
So it's always something remember, to talk about.
Years ago, they used to have a huge orchid farm there, too.
Was there?
Yes.
I couldn't remember what was there before.
Some orchids that come up.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The seller, he took me for a walk out the back because we, you know, we looked at his building and his business and what he had going on, and he had a lot going on for that price tag. But then we walked out the back, and I'm telling you, he has the most beautiful 4.5 acres that butts right up to the dunes, and it is just... ready for development.
So those of you that all of you have heard is bars and tone and for the last 5 minutes, we don't want anybody to know about this property.
But Miss Tina does. She's got two signs up there. It says "List with Tina." And
you
I did see that, Mason. Got up there twice.
I did. Well, you know, I was out last night picking up signs from 78 Clinton sold. Woohoo! That was the Moretti's estate.
Who turned you on to that?
That
property?
Was one of my best friends that turned. That property
well,
on
whoever that person is a great person, but we have only a minute left.
And Mason, you have to give her number out.
Yeah, get your number quick because Mason's got to get us out of here.
So again, you know, I'm looking for those listings, you guys. We're low on listings. Give me a call at 269-759-1076. List with Tina on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can put me into Google, List
Googler.
With Tina,
Googler.
And you can find me. Okay, go ahead, Mason.
I feel like such a child
and
some days.
You can give Rob Dog a call at 269-872-3049. Check out all our websites, moondogshow.com, DaleRobbie.com, and moondogpro.net.
Yes.
Want to thank our sponsors. Thanks to UFC Tree Care, Masters Chiropractic, Gulata Imagery, and Captain Nemo's.
Yes, and one more time with the phone number for our show.
If they haven't gotten that yet.
Say it.
269-872-3049.
Yes, because if you call it right now and nobody's called me yet, I'm going to give you $100 in gift certificates to Captain Nemo's. If no one's called me yet, even though the show is pre-recorded, I will be awake waiting for your phone call. 269-872-3049. 30 seconds, Mason.
All right, and I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank the boys down at the station for spinning the dials, making it sound real good. And we'll be back next week at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. So don't you miss it. Now everybody in the whole county going to get to howl at the moon dog. Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Rob Bird's Moondog Show is part of the Moondog Radio Network, subsidiary of Moondog Productions, copyright 2021.